Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I know we're sitting here in Big Ten country, and so I'm not going to say definitively about this. You could make the argument that along with the Big Ten, and I'm being nice to the Big Ten folks here, that the SEC is the conference that comes up with the most NFL talent. I'd say it's probably one or the other. Let's go with that anyway because we're in Big Ten country. If you're looking for an expert on the SEC, we have found one. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here, Andy Baskin over there, and joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, man who does analytical work for the SEC Network, former college football player at Auburn, the only team with three nicknames, the Tigers, the Plainsmen, and the War Eagles. He is Cole Kublik. And, Cole, we thank you for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me.
Which nickname do you like the best, by the way? It's got to be Tigers, right?
Well, I mean, it's War Eagle's kind of the battle cry. The Plains is kind of considered to be where Auburn's located. Plains men were like these guys who I never really figured out their role. They wore suits for every game and walked around, and I guess showed people around, but they weren't really affiliated with the athletic department. So I'm going to go Tigers because obviously it's a little bit more intimidating. War Eagle's pretty cool, too, because I can walk through an airport and see somebody in Auburn hat and say War Eagle, and they're going to turn and say War Eagle back. So
there you go.
That's always fun.
That's awesome.
If I walked up to you and said O-H, would you know what to say next?
I'd say no. Oh, no?
That's pretty good.
Well played.
As a former Auburn football player, we're expecting an extremely unbiased – analytical thought on the player who is now a Cleveland Brown, Jedrick Wills, the Alabama offensive tackle. You played offensive line at Auburn, and you watched Jedrick Wills play through your work with the SEC Network. Your impressions on Jedrick Wills?
You'll probably be surprised with what you're going to get. I've gotten to know Jedrick over the years. I've interviewed him a few times. He's been at Alabama. I've covered a couple of their games. He is one of my top three players in this draft. As far as just favorite guys to watch, be around, I have a full appreciation for what he is. I think you could make the argument he's the most physical player coming out in this year's NFL draft. There are some other guys like Logan Stenberg out of Kentucky, like Damian Lewis at LSU that play a physical style of football, but Jedrick Wills has the ability to move people. He is a bulldozer at the line of scrimmage. You talk about flat back, wide base, shooting hands, coming off the ball, and being able to drive block. Jedrick Wills is an offensive line coach's dream. I think that he has every bit of ability as some of the other tackles in this draft. He's played a lot of really good football against really good competition, and you haven't seen a lot of breakdowns and fundamental mistakes that he's made. So the Cleveland Browns are getting a physical presence that will change that room, change that team, and they're getting a great individual. Jedrick's a great kid, a good kid. He understands how to handle himself like a pro. He knows how to get his work done. There's nobody on that football team that's going to tell you that they don't like him or didn't like being around him. So I think it's a wonderful pick for the Cleveland Browns. I think Cleveland is very fortunate that he was there because I didn't anticipate that he would be there. Depending on what your need was, and I've sort of talked about this with a few different people, this is a very weird top of the tackle draft because I think depending on exactly what you wanted, right or left, play now, have some time, feeling versus immediate impact, you could sort of juggle all those top four tackles around a little bit. But I think Cleveland fans should be thrilled that Jedrick Wills was even there to be selected, and then I think they made the right move by bringing him in.
Yeah, what do you think about switching sides, going from right to left for him?
Yeah, this is complicated because I would never go against what Joe Thomas does. And you know, he talks about the difference going from right to left, and it is different. Listen, physically, you can become one-leg dominant. You can become one-pass-set dominant. My only concern is that I haven't seen him do it. Now, physically, do I think he's capable? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's an athlete. You see him out in space. You see the way he runs and moves. You see the quickness with the power that he brings. He has the ability, the God-given talent, to be able to do it. I just haven't seen him do it. So that worries me a little bit. I think that's why Andrew Thomas went first, if you're talking about offensive tackles, because I think he is the most proven left tackle as far as being game-ready on the left side of the offensive line in this draft. So from a Jedrick Wills perspective, he's physically capable, but I would have mild concerns only because I haven't seen him do it. I think he's capable. I think he has the raw ability to be able to do it, and I think he has some people in place there to be able to help him do it. But I would be a little bit concerned because you just don't have the film and he doesn't have the reps actually doing it in game situations.
Cole Kublik joining us from the SEC Network. With that switch in mind, I'm also intrigued by the fact that he's a young guy. You know, came in as a freshman, played. He's only 20 years old. He's going to turn 21. He'll play in the NFL as a 21-year-old. Cole, I would think there's an incredible upside to a young guy like that.
No, absolutely. And I think that just allows you to feel that he still has a high ceiling. I don't think he's reached the pinnacle of his game at all. Matter of fact, if you nitpick him, you can look at his lateral quickness and some of his lateral movement, especially in pass sets and pass rush situations. There are quicker, lighter defenders that sometimes give him problems with inside pass rush moves. I think he can find different ways to combat that. I think once he gets around other pros that have been there and done it, they can help him in some of those situations. He can place more emphasis on working on individual parts of his game, and he'll be open to that. Like I said, he handles himself like a professional now. He's not going to go in stubborn, hard-headed, and not understanding how to work on certain parts of his game. I think there's a little bit of value that he's played for two offensive line coaches. You know, he played for Brent Key, who's now at Georgia Tech, who is a great offensive line coach, and he played for Kyle Flood, the former Rutgers head coach, who's now the offensive line coach at Bama. So he understands that it's not just one way. It's not just my way or the highway. He knows that there are different ways to get the job done by playing offensive line. And so he's been introduced to different techniques, different fundamentals, different verbiage, different ways of handling things. I think that'll help him as well, especially if they're going to try to move him over to the left first. He'll have an understanding that, hey, it's not always the same. Sometimes you have to adapt. Sometimes things are different. And I think that versatility could help.
The Browns are definitely looking for a linebacker and a safety tonight. Guys, the guys that come to the top of your mind out of the SEC that would be a good fit in Cleveland, just your thoughts, like Willie Gay Jr. sitting out there, some other guys like that.
Willie Gay can run. You watch Willie Gay play, and he feels like a linebacker. In fact, he lined up as a linebacker a lot at Mississippi State, but he absolutely runs like a safety. He is a sideline-to-sideline guy. If Xavier McKinney is there, which I'm kind of surprised he's still on the board, I think he's one of the best value picks in this draft just because I think he's exactly what the NFL needs and wants right now. He's essentially a nickel corner in a safety body. He can blitz. I've seen him be, you know, Jeremy Pruitt was a D coordinator there a few years ago. He was kind of Jeremy's favorite pressure guy. He can come up and play the run near the line of scrimmage. He's not afraid to play in the tackle box. And then obviously he has pretty good cover skills to be able to handle the slot. So if he's there, obviously that's going to be your guy. I think a Cam Dantzler might be someone who can actually help by moving back out of Mississippi State as well at some point in time. You know, played corner, but I think he has versatility to play some different things. Christian Fulton was a full-time nickel the majority of last year at LSU. He's someone that has some versatility on the back end as well. So I think I know you said safety, and it's not as deep because obviously
linebacker
Grant
or safety.
There. Yeah, Grant Delpit there is also going to be there out of LSU, but I think second round we're going to see a run on corners and running backs because the amount of guys that can come in and play right away and give you heavy contributions as a second round pick, I think are going to be plentiful at those two positions here in round two.
Cole Kublik is joining us. He's from the SEC Network, played offensive line for the Auburn Tigers. And Cole, I want to kind of switch things just a little bit. There are two Auburn quarterbacks that I think are really interesting offseason stories in the NFL. And if you can give me your thoughts on each of them. Number one, Jarrett Stidham is sitting in New England. He's looking like he's the man standing to be in line to be the starting quarterback next year. Unless maybe New England goes out and brings in another Auburn quarterback who somehow is still looking for a job in Cam Newton. What do you think about their situations for next year?
Well, my answer with Cam will be a little bit shorter, and I'll just ask you guys, Bill Belichick and Cam Newton, do you see that relationship working out?
I think Bill could get him in a hoodie.
No.
For me personally, I don't see that one working out. Jarrett Stidham's kind of a Tom Brady clone. I mean, he's presidential. He has a quiet demeanor, but understands how and when to be a leader. He can handle anything you throw at him. And he was not given a ton of opportunity to really go out and be a quarterback at the line of scrimmage full time when he was at Auburn. It was very limited what he was allowed to do and what they did and how they did it. But talking to Kendall Browse about him, who coached him at Baylor, and talking to Chip Lindsey, who was his offensive coordinator, now the head coach at Troy, about him, he can handle everything. You get him on the whiteboard, you get him in the film room, he understands the game, and, man, he throws a beautiful ball. I mean, throws a beautiful ball. He's got plenty of arm strength to be able to push the ball down the field. Intermediate accuracy is probably the best part of his game. I think he's a little more slippery and has a little bit better mobility than people give him credit for. I'm not going to say he's a guy they're drawing up design runs for, but I think he can move and manage the pocket a little bit more, a little better than some people imagine. I think based on people that I know in New England, they like him a lot. And he was wonderful in the preseason last year. I think they're going to give him every chance to be the guy. And if there's something along the way where it shows that he's not, well, you've got Hoyer, and then if you needed to make another move, I guess you could make a play for a Cam Newton, and he's out there. I think Cam still has good football left in him. I really do. I think all these injuries that he's now had time to recoup from and recover from, he'll understand that he's going to have to change his game, and he can't be the Cam Newton that we saw 3 and 4 years ago, physically being able to take some of the punishment that he was allowed to endure early in his career. But I think Cam Newton has a good enough arm, an accurate enough arm, to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You look at some of the starting quarterbacks in the bottom of this league, and you're telling me you wouldn't rather have Cam Newton starting for your team than them. I don't think that can be accurate. So I'm really interested to see where he lands. I was wondering if there's going to be a move last night where it might show us where he would potentially end up. But I don't know. Everyone keeps trying to connect him to New England, and I don't see that happening. I think Cam Newton can still be a starting quarterback, a good starting quarterback in the NFL. I just don't see it being with the Patriots.
Your thoughts are just on Joe Burrow now that everything's said and done. We know he's the first pick. We know he's going back to Southern Ohio. He's going to Cincinnati. What do you think he needs to do just to be successful in the NFL? It all sounds great and everything feels good once you're in college, and then all of a sudden now you have to make the next step. What do you think he needs to do?
I think he needs to continue to do what he's been doing. Joe Burrow is super confident, but Joe Burrow has a chip on his shoulder. Joe Burrow has a lot to prove to a lot of people. He's the ultimate competitor. He's the ultimate team guy. My favorite attribute about Joe Burrow is he is the ultimate guy who deflects success. Joe Burrow went to Coach O the morning of their team banquet in Baton Rouge and said, "I got to talk to you about something." Coach O said, "What is it?" He said, "Lloyd Cushenberry needs to be the MVP of this team, not me." Coach O said, "Well, Joe Burrow says Lloyd Cushenberry MVP. Lloyd Cushenberry's MVP." Joe Burrow called, I know for a fact, called the athletic department when the pro day was canceled in Baton Rouge and was furious, lost his mind. And when he finally got on the phone with some other guys on the football team, they said, "Hey, man, what's the problem? What's going on? Like, you're going to be the number one pick." He said, "I'm not mad about me." He said, We got 15, 20 other guys that can make NFL rosters. How are they going to prove that they need to be drafted? What about my other guys that didn't go to the combine? They need a chance to prove themselves." So I've heard him deflect his success and give it to Coach Orgeron. You hear his Heisman speech. He didn't even go his starting five by name. He pulled out two or three reserves by name of his offensive linemen. He is one of those guys that other players on the team just gravitate to. He can make every throw. The thing that bothers me is the people who try to bring up the system. And there's two parts about that. Number one, the guy who brought the system, where's he coaching right now? He's in Carolina. So that's essentially an NFL system that we're talking about. Number two, that brand new playbook was dumped on his desk in front of him at the end of January last year. He told me he flipped open the first page and saw it and said, "Oh, this is new." Next page, "This is new." He said, I got 20 pages in and everything was brand new. And he said, okay, we're not changing this. We're overhauling this. And what did he do 6 months later? He had the greatest season a college quarterback has ever had. Yes, he had talent around him. Yes, he was an older guy. Yes, he was taking online classes. But at the end of the day, Joe Burrow went out and executed at a higher level than any college quarterback ever has in the history of the game. And if you go look at their resume, he probably did it against better opponents than any other college quarterback has faced in a single season. They played against 13 of those first-round picks last night. He had five of them on his team. So more than half of the first-round picks were either on his team or he played against them last year. He knows what it's like playing against and playing with high-level competition. He's not somebody who's going to go in there and want to have it his way or the highway. He's going to continue to work, just like he did his lower body last year and trying to improve that. He's accurate. He's tough. He's competitive. He can make the throws. I think it was an absolute no-brainer for Cincinnati, and I think Joe Burrow is going to be a heck of a pro.
And, Cole, you mentioned chip on his shoulder. He's back in Ohio where the Buckeyes didn't put him on the field, and he had to transfer. Man, I bet he's just ready to try and light it up in the state of Ohio and show folks at Ohio State, yeah, JT Barrett was really good, and I know Dwayne Haskins was a first-round pick, but maybe I should have had some playing time here.
He threw two. He got two mop-up touchdowns. So, I guess you give him a little bit of credit for that.
The right.
The geographical advantage is obvious. And, I mean, you bring in an obvious tie to him and fan base and ticket sales and people who are going to want him to succeed. So, again, going back to why it was a no-brainer. And it's weird how people mistake that chip on that shoulder with confidence. I understand what Joe Burrow is. When you – it takes a long time for you to for people to sort of gain your full respect when you're constantly trying to prove something to people. And I feel like he's been doing that since he was in high school. He wanted that Nebraska offer. He didn't get it. He goes to Ohio State. He's obviously not the guy. He has to transfer. He gets to LSU. And there's like four quarterbacks on the roster. And then when two of them leave, all his teammates are upset with him. So he's constantly been trying to earn people's respect, prove people wrong, prove himself. But that drives him. That makes him who he is. And that's the part that you have to have. It's like going back to that Jordan documentary last Sunday night when they're talking to his brothers, and Jordan says it himself. He's like, if I didn't have my brothers growing up, there would be this guy that you talk about, this competitive dude, this, you know, this ultra competitor. He wouldn't be here. He wouldn't exist right now. I think there's a lot of that in Joe, where the things that he's had to prove, the things that he's had to go through, that makes him who he is and drives him on a daily basis. And I don't think it's ever going to be enough. Heisman, national championship, Super Bowl, lead the NFL in passing yards. He's always going to want more. And that's the kind of guy you want leading your franchise.
Cole, we can't thank you enough for the insight. Outstanding. We know more about the SEC guys that are in Cleveland. Cleveland will be playing and could be in Cleveland. We certainly did before. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Cole Kublik, SEC Network. And, boy, he was a fountain of knowledge, wasn't he?
Yes, he
was. That was great. Good to have him with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.